Good morning. It is a privilege and a gift to be with you today and to worship God together. I am Pastor Bethany, and as I said, it is a joy to be here with you. The reason that I am preaching from the floor today is to allow for some extra space on the steps for the band to spread out a little bit. If you have any trouble seeing, I can do my best to accommodate. But for now, this is what we have. I'm up as far as I can go. I have a few announcements for you this morning. One, we have some fellowship things available after the service, coffee and cookies. You are more than welcome and invited to come and stay, to have some fellowship time together, maybe get to know someone that you don't know. That is a good thing, and you are invited to that. Secondly, we have our Lenten study that began on the 21st, last Wednesday. If you are not already signed up to attend, you are more than welcome. It is not too late. We have plenty of books. We have plenty still to talk about. The books are in the office area on the reception desk. Third, our day of prayer for March will be on Monday, Thursday this year. That will be from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the chapel, as you can see on the slide. If you have any questions, see Hillary about that. She can give you some more detailed information. And then she has an announcement for us about Kids Hope USA.
Thank you, Pastor. And we have a volunteer reader who wanted to take care of the announcement today.
Today is February 25th, 2024. This means we have only one more month to add mentors for kids at Central Park. These mentors come from our congregation and a congregation.
And our congregation only.
Congregation only. Please consider putting the pedal to the metal in the next month. Perhaps. Perhaps this could even be considered a gift of Lent. You can complete the training and entry
procedure
in the next month. Meet your mentee right after Holy Week, Easter, and spring break. Phew! It all comes to once at this year. You and your mentee can experience from joyful spring days together and make plans for next fall. Please pray about this for yourself or for our members.
Thank you. Very good.
Wonderful job, Katie. Thank you so much. I have another announcement on behalf of Renee Johnson. She is not able to be in the service this morning, but she asked that I would tell you about Advocacy Day. The 2024 Advocacy Day at the Michigan State Capitol will be held on Wednesday, March 13th. As you can see in the pictures, there are some beautifully crafted butterflies. Those are called semicolon butterflies, and semicolons are a symbol of mental health, which is what the focus will be for this year. Last year, 350 United Methodists and friends from across Michigan spent the day advocating for gun safety with state legislators. And it is what is called the Methodist miracle. And as I said, the focus this year is that all persons have access to affordable mental health care and to reduce the stigma of mental health that impacts every Michigan family. She wanted me to tell you that today is the last day to pre-register so that you'll get a boxed lunch on that day. And if your schedule doesn't allow you to go to Lansing, please mark your calendars to be praying for this event and to be praying for those who need access to mental health resources and those who are participating in the Advocacy Day. On Sunday, March 10th, we will have a blessing for the semicolon butterflies that the United Women in Faith group created. And they are beautiful. They really are. And we will also, of course, be blessing those who will be traveling to Lansing. And again, that event will be on March 13th. The blessing will be on the 10th, but the event in Lansing will be on the 13th at the state capitol. And then Tyler has an announcement for us today as well.
Hello, everybody. We've got one more men's chorale rehearsal today at 1 o'clock. If you weren't there for it last week, that's okay. You can still come today. And this is to sing next Sunday. We're doing an arrangement of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It's really wonderful, easy to pick up if you haven't, you know, gone to the first rehearsal. Highly encourage people to be involved. Additionally, you may have heard that we host, you know, a series of community services on Good Friday around lunchtime. One of those services is going to have a community choir. Right now we've got most of our choir members involved, as well as it looks like probably so far around maybe 20 other singers from around the community. You don't need to be in Chancellor Choir or in any of our choirs to be involved in this. We have two rehearsals for that additionally, also on Sundays at 1 o'clock, and that's the 2 weeks leading up to Easter. So Palm Sunday the 24th and the Sunday before the 17th. So if you're interested in that, just, you know, shoot me an email or come find me, and I'll have lots more info for you. Thanks.
Thank you, Tyler. Let us rise and say hello to one another this morning. Good to see you too. Good morning.
As we get ready to begin our worship, I would invite everybody to stand up and to turn around and look at the camera above the door and wave good morning to our production crew, who are often forgotten down in the production booth downstairs. We appreciate all you do to take our worship out into the world. Pastor Bethany, if you would lead us in prayer, and then we can get started with worship.
Absolutely. God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you so much for the privilege that it is to worship today. And thank you that you have been here and have invited us to meet with you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to focus our hearts and our minds on you. Fix our eyes so that we can remember who it is you are and that you never change. Lord, we thank you and we pray that our worship would resound and spill out of these doors. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Today, we will continue to get acquainted with the faces of Easter. Last week, we remembered Mary and Joseph. This week, 12-year-old Jesus will be in the temple teaching and listening to learn even more. We will also review the time at the Jordan River when John baptized Jesus. Let us pray.
Dear God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus. We are glad to learn that Jesus was a first baby and then was first a baby and then a child just like us. We celebrate the baptism of Jesus that included your voice and a dove. Everybody was there. All that love is for all of us, and we love you back. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Our next song is Living Water.
Community, I invite you to take a posture of prayer as we pray together. God, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Thank you for the gift of music, of singing with our voices, and of the band as they have led us, and for all of the individual instruments in that. Thank you for the gift of children and all the ways that they participate in the service and in other parts of the church life. God, we thank you, and we ask that you bless and nurture them, or help us to be your hands and feet as we nurture them. And Lord, may our worship be acceptable and pleasing to you as we learn and grow in our faith and help them to learn and grow in their faith. And Lord, today, may our worship to you have a ripple effect that moves outside of these doors and outside of these walls, God. May the people outside of this building know who you are because of the ways that we are present in the world. God, we thank you so much for the privilege that it is to be yours, the privilege that it is to worship you, and the privilege that it is to pray to you and to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And now we have the privilege of worshiping with our monetary gifts. If the ushers would come forward, please.
The song we're going to sing for you during the offering is a song from Australia, and it's our theme supporting song for today. We're going to be learning about the woman at the well, so I invite you to sit back and enjoy the words.
God, thank you so much for the privilege it is to worship you and to give out of the abundance that we have been given. God, we have more than enough for ourselves, and it is a privilege to be able to give back to you so that you can bless other people through us. Lord, we pray that these gifts of monetary would be multiplied in ways that we can't even imagine, so that they each fulfill your purposes. Lord, you are good, and you are able to do more than we ask or imagine. And we pray that you would do so using these gifts and so many others. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege that it is to be yours and to give back to you what we have already been given. We love you, and we pray all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, please. Thank you. scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John. Yes, you may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 26. Now, I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized. He left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." You were planned for God's pleasure. That is what Rick Warren labels as the first purpose of our lives in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And perhaps that is a simple way to summarize the conversation that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well near Sychar in the noonday heat. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, sat down at this well because he was tired from the journey from Jerusalem to Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was 70 miles north, and Sychar was 30 miles before Galilee. And although it was a Samaritan town, it was the short and most typical route between Jerusalem and Galilee. And although one could argue that taking the typical route from Jerusalem to Galilee makes the most sense, we know that Jesus didn't do one thing outside of the Father's will, and that he knows all things. We don't know the name of the woman who came to the well at the sixth hour of the day, which was noon, when it was hot and everyone else was gone so that she didn't have to face the other women. We don't know her name, but surely Jesus did. We know from the context of this passage that it was unusual for a man to initiate a conversation with a woman in public in those days. They didn't do that in a society where women were thought of as less because of their gender. But Jesus begins the conversation and asks for a drink of water. And to ask from a Samaritan was also really unheard of. They were a mixed race of people. Samaritans were looked down upon in relation to purity, and they were not allowed to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. So they had built a temple on Mount Gerizim. And John tells us in the passage that Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans, including water jars. And yet, Jesus asks this woman for a drink, and the woman responds, and her and Jesus have this back and forth dialogue that begins in verse 9. Verse 9 says, "The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?'" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. In verse 10, it says, "Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." In Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he labels the first purpose of our lives as being planned for God's pleasure. As I said, the reason I said that this phrase could summarize the conversation between Jesus and the woman at the well is because Warren is referring here, ultimately, to the worship of God. We were created to worship God. That's why Jesus looks at the woman and answers her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." When we encounter the living God, it is impossible not to be touched in the deepest parts of who we are, for us to respond to an innate desire to proclaim honor and glory and praise to the one who created us. That is what we do when we bring God pleasure and we do things that make God smile. We worship him. And that is what the woman is doing at the end of her conversation with Jesus. Warren notes on page 66 of his book, "Anthropologists have noted that worship is a universal urge hardwired by God into the very fiber of our being, an inbuilt need to connect with God. Worship is as natural as eating or breathing. If we fail to worship God, we always find a substitute, even if it ends up being ourselves." Elsewhere, he notes Psalm 147, verse 11, from the Common English Version translation of the Bible. That says this, "The Lord is pleased only with those who worship him and trust his love." And in doing so, Warren reminds us that worship is at the heart of what we are called to do as human beings. And it is at the heart of who we are called to be as Christ followers. That's why it is at the heart of the conversation that Jesus has with the woman at the well. Beginning with verse 9, continuing on, as the woman asks the question in verse 10, in verse 9, and then Jesus responds in verse 10. Later on, in verse 26, Jesus reveals to her that he is the Messiah, saying, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." But what does that mean for her? What is it that she is longing for? What is this living water that Jesus speaks of? Living water is synonymous with running water, as opposed to water that would sit at the bottom of a cistern and did not move at all. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as living water in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. And it is likely that he does so here too in chapter 4, as he explains the living water as the gift of God. To be clear, God is the source of this living water. The woman goes on to state the obvious, as she states what she can see with her eyes. In verses 11 and 12, the woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and flocks drank from it?" The Greek in this question sounds more like, "You're not greater than our ancestor Jacob, are you?" This question with an affirmative answer is meant to imply that Jesus is indeed greater than Jacob, as Jesus continues to explain this gift of living water that only God can give. Verses 13 through 19, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet." The woman does not understand who Jesus is fully, but she knows that he is a prophet, someone who speaks to God on behalf of the people and who speaks to the people on behalf of God. She does not understand that the water she is asking for is not physical, but spiritual. Although Jesus knows and understands the woman's physical needs, he also understands her spiritual needs, and he intends to address both. The living water Jesus is referring to is called living because it is the means of life. Jesus is the means of life. John, just as John said in the first chapter of his account of the gospel in verses 1 through 5, he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Throughout the chapters in Warren's book that encompass the purpose of being planned for God's pleasure, days 8 through 14, Rick Warren repeatedly emphasizes the importance of authentic worship that focuses on God alone as he is revealed in Jesus Christ. According to Warren, on page 103, when Jesus said, "Love God with all your heart and soul," he meant that worship must be genuine and heartfelt. It is not just a matter of saying the right words. You must mean what you say. Heartless praise is not praise at all. It is worthless, an insult to God. When we worship, God looks past our words to see the attitude of our hearts. As we worship, we become further connected to the life-giving nature of Christ by getting to know him better and expressing our love for him as he expresses his love for us. Warren says that God-pleasing worship is deeply emotional and deeply doctrinal. That's on page 104. Is our worship accurate as well as authentic? Are we giving God what he asks for, or are we focusing on what we want? Are we worshiping God for who he is, or are we worshiping God for what he can do for us? Now make no mistake, God wants for us to bring all that we are and all that we have into the sanctuary. Whether we are having a good day, a bad day, whether we are in a season of joy, sorrow, frustration, anger, he wants us to bring all of those things to him and to be honest about where we're at. Nothing takes God by surprise. He is aware of how we're feeling, but he wants us to come to him because it helps cultivate our relationship with him. And the most important thing is that when we are in, no matter what season we are in, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can be assured that he is worthy of praise in every single season because he never changes and he's always good. And so that is the most important thing to remember in worship. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. The conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well was not intended to expose her to public disgrace. Rather, Jesus was inviting the woman to know him and to be known by him. To bring her heart and all of her experiences into the light and so be transformed. She was not afraid that someone knew that she had five husbands, and the one that she lived with was not her husband. She was not ashamed and so turned inward. Rather, she saw her sin. She saw her sin for what it was, and she leaned into who God is and into his love for her. Because although salvation is from the Jews, and they were worshiping who they knew, real worship is rooted in the word. Rick Warren says that on page 107. And as we know, the word was made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And not everyone who uttered, "Lord, Lord," knew Jesus, the Lord of Lords, even though the Jews had studied the law and the prophets. The Samaritans and everyone else worshiped who they did not know. But through the Samaritan's conversation with Jesus, they would know. Are we worshiping God in such a way that others know who Jesus is? Jesus said in verses 23 and 24, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." To worship God in truth is to worship God as he is revealed in Scripture. And to worship in spirit is to allow our spirits to respond to the love of God for us. That is the means of transportation I'm sorry, transformation. We cannot transform ourselves, but the love of God transforms us when we respond to it. We are not who we were because we encounter Christ. As Warren says, it is not always convenient or comfortable. And sometimes worship is an act of sheer will, a willing sacrifice. Passive worship is not an oxymoron. When you praise God, even when you don't feel like it, and when you get out of bed to worship when you're tired or help others when you are worn out, you are offering a sacrifice of worship to God, and that pleases God. Shortly after Jesus spoke about worshiping in the Spirit and in truth, he declared himself the Messiah. Upon hearing Jesus' declaration, the woman immediately left her water jar, along with the watching disciples who had returned to town, who had returned from town with food. The woman ran to town to tell everyone that this man had told her everything she had ever done. The woman now knew the gift of living water, of a well that will never run dry. And we can too. That's what being planned for God's pleasure is all about. Loving God because we are loved. Worshiping the one who gives life in abundance because he loved us first by pouring out our lives as a living sacrifice for God and telling others so that they have access to this gift too. Being known and loved by God just the same. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I invite you to stand. Our last song today is Create in Me.
Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a work of love.
Friends, leave your water jar, whether it is empty or full, and tell others all that you know of God's love. Jesus desires our worship, but he desires for you to know him and to be known by him. You are so very loved. May that love that you have from the Lord be poured out before you and on the people around you this week. You are so very loved. May each of our lives be a living sacrifice to the one who loved us first and loves us best. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.